Robin, thank you for that reading, and please do keep that in front of you, everyone, there on page 977. Let's pray. Loving God, as we think this morning about this part of your word, we pray that you would open our hearts, that we might hear and receive and be transformed by your living word for us. Amen. Now, do you think that you could tell the difference between a real and a counterfeit banknote? I was given this £20 note this morning by the vicar, so naturally I have subjected it to every test. I feel the quality of the paper, I look at the watermark, and I study as well the metallic strip, trying to find out if it's real or if it's a forgery. Of course, with the collections we take here at St. Mary's, none of those tests are normally necessary. The best way of telling the real from the fake is probably those ultraviolet lamps which they use in shops. Maybe it's just me, but perhaps when you pay with a note, they test your note with one of those. And the ultraviolet light shows whether it's a real note or whether it's a fake. Well, in today's reading, we see a clash between Jesus and the Pharisees. And on the surface, it's about what is lawful, proper to do on the Sabbath day. But actually, the issues go much deeper than that. Now, these Pharisees looked, from the outside, like devout, committed members of the people of God. But in their clash with Jesus, it's like that ultraviolet light, which actually exposes them not to be the real article, but not to be genuine followers of God. And the Pharisees' problem was what we sometimes call legalism. You know what I mean by legalism? It's making the keeping of laws, the keeping of religious rules, the center of our faith. So for the Pharisees, the heart of their religion wasn't the grace and the salvation of God, it was the laws and the rules that they were keeping. Now, it's so easy when we read the Gospels to look down on the Pharisees. They're like the pantomime villains of the Gospels. But actually, I want to suggest this morning that this legalism is a real tendency for all of us. It certainly is for me, for all of us, all of the time. It's so easy for us to put things that we do, laws or rules that we keep, at the center of our faith, where instead there should be the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. One sign that legalism can be becoming a tendency for us is that our confidence of being right with God starts to go up and down with our performance. So we've had a great week where we've been having our quiet times, reading the Bible and praying, where we feel we've been able to be good friends, good parents. At times like that, our confidence of being right with God is high, but at times where our performance hasn't been as good, our confidence of being right with God perhaps isn't so high. Well, that can be a sign that we're starting to depend on things that we do rather than on God's gracious salvation, a sign that legalism is starting to become a problem. Well, to keep us from that tendency to legalism, we have great help in the reading which we had today, particularly Matthew 12, verses 1 to 14. Matthew shows us here the difference between legalism and what Jesus gives us. And I hope we'll see this morning as we explore this together how vastly better Jesus is than the legalism of the Pharisees. I want to look at the passage in two halves. And in the first half, we see that Jesus gives rest, whereas legalism only burdens. This is chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Jesus gives rest, but legalism burdens. Let's join in verse 1. At that time, Jesus went through the cornfields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some ears of corn and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." Now, the Sabbath day was God's gift to his people Israel. He commanded them to keep the seventh day of the week, Saturday, holy, special. It was to be a day for rest from their work and a day for relationship with God, for worship, and a day to remember how God had created the whole universe and then rested from his work, And a day also to remember God's rescue from slavery in Egypt was a day to rest. Now, it's normally agreed that in the Bible, the work that you had to rest from was your regular work, your usual occupation. But the Pharisees had become very conservative in their interpretation of the Sabbath. And they'd added to God's word, and you know, they had developed 39 different categories of forbidden work. And one of those was harvesting. So when they see the disciples snacking like this, plucking a few bits of corn and eating them, the Pharisees say to themselves, aha, category 27, infringement, harvesting unlawful. I think it's safe to say it would have been rather stressful to go for a Saturday afternoon stroll with the Pharisees. You pick a blackberry, they do you for harvesting. You get lost and take a detour, they do you for exceeding the maximum length of a Sabbath walk. You see, they'd taken a day that was meant to be about rest and about relationship with God and about remembering all that God had done for us, and they'd made it all about human rules. They'd made it a burden. Now, in answering the Pharisees, I guess Jesus could just have said, look, the disciples aren't farmers. Harvesting isn't their work. Give them a break. But actually, Jesus wanted to go deeper with the Pharisees. And he shows them from the Old Testament, in which they were supposedly experts, that their legalism is actually unbiblical and unhelpful. So he says to them in verse 3, haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Now, this is the incident recorded in the book of 1 Samuel. David was on the run from King Saul, and he was desperate for food, and so he went to the house of God, the tabernacle. But the only food they had there was this consecrated bread, which only the priest should eat. But under the circumstances, they gave the bread to David and his companions, and he ate it. Now, it was technically unlawful, but nowhere in Scripture is David condemned for this. Perhaps because of who he was, God's anointed king. Perhaps because of the situation, it was such an emergency. Perhaps because his heart was in the right place. In his hour of need, he'd gone to God's house as a son going to his father for help. Well, then Jesus speaks to the Pharisees about the priests in the temple in verse 5. And he says, look, they work twice as hard on the Sabbath, but they're innocent before God. The work of the temple, the worship of God, came ahead of the Sabbath regulations. I think Jesus' point here to the Pharisees is that you can't reduce godliness to rules. You can't boil down a living relationship with God to rules and regulations. Jesus is saying there have always been exceptions, David, the priests in the temple. You can't reduce it all to legalism. And Jesus also tells them that godliness has always been a matter of the heart. We'll come back to verse 6, but see what Jesus says in verse 7. He said to them, if you'd known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, quote from the prophet Hosea, you would not have condemned the innocent. Jesus is saying that what God has always wanted most is a heart of mercy, of love for other people. That has always been more important to God than sacrifice, than outward religious observance. Now, of course, human laws, human rules can't get to our heart and make us more merciful. Now, what does that is realizing the love of God, receiving the mercy of God in Jesus. That makes us compassionate in our hearts. And Jesus is saying that has always been so much more important to God than religious ritual or rules. Well, this must have been challenging stuff for the Pharisees to hear. But it is in verse 8 that Jesus drops his absolute bombshell. Jesus says to them in verse 8, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Now that must have been astonishing for them to hear. Jesus is saying that he is the owner, the master of the Sabbath. A huge statement. After all, the Sabbath was commanded by God. Jesus is making himself equal to the divine lawgiver. And Jesus is saying that the Sabbath day, it's all about him. Really, he's been showing them that the whole Old Testament points forward to him. In verse 6, he said, "One greater than the temple is here," talking about himself again. Now, the temple was so important in Israel. It was where you went to meet with God. It was where you went to find sins forgiven through the sacrifices. Jesus is saying that he is the true place where we meet with God and find the forgiveness of our sins. He's greater than the temple. He's hinted, I think, that he's greater than King David, the greatest king they ever had. And now he's saying that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, he is the one who gives the rest, the soul rest that the Sabbath always pointed to. And that's just what we saw last week in Jesus' words at the end of chapter 11, where he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you." You know the yoke, it was the bar that farmers used to control and to steer their oxen. Jesus is saying, "Let me be the one to control and steer your life." He continues, "And learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." As Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus promises the soul rest to which the Sabbath always pointed. The rest of knowing that our sins are forgiven. The rest of knowing that our relationship with God doesn't depend on our own performance, but on what he has done for us at the cross. The rest of knowing that we have an identity as God's sons and daughters that is completely secure. The rest from the burden of other people's expectations, because it's Jesus we're living for now. And actually rest from the burden of anxiety, because we know that Jesus cares for us. This is the rest that Jesus gives and that the Sabbath pointed to. Now, I'm sure that nobody here watches the Britain's Got Talent TV show. I only watch it very occasionally and strictly for research purposes only. But Britain's Got Talent has brought back to our TV screens the good old plate spinning act, which I think has featured a couple of times, if memory serves, on that programme. Now, maybe you've seen the plate spinning act. In it, the performer has numerous flexible wooden sticks and numerous plates, and he starts balancing the sticks all over the stage, and he goes to each one and he spins a plate on the top of it. And so long as the plate is spinning fast, it all balances, and the performer sets up a veritable forest of these spinning plates all over the stage, and then he or she is furiously dashing around from each plate as it starts to wobble, give it another spin, and they're frantically rushing from plate to plate, keeping them all spinning. Now, legalism can make the Christian life feel like that. If we feel that our forgiveness, that our relationship with God, our identity, depends on things that we're doing, well, then we frantically have to keep running from plate to plate, keeping it spinning. So keep on attending church enough. Keep on leading that group. Keep on being a good parent. Keep on being a good friend. Keep on being a good employee. If we think our relationship with God depends on these things, well, it becomes very frantic. When we come to Jesus, he gives us rest. We know that our forgiveness, our identity, depends on him and not on what we do. Now, we still do those things I mentioned, and they may still be tiring and hard work, but it's not a frantic burden anymore, because we know that our relationship with God, our identity, doesn't depend on those things we're doing, but on Jesus. So this is the big way we keep the Sabbath commandment. First and foremost, by coming to Jesus and finding rest in him. Now, does that mean as Christians we don't need a Sabbath day? Well, no. I believe that we are made by God to function best with a day of rest. A day to rest from our work, as Israel had. A day for relationship with God. A day to meet together as Christians and encourage each other. A day to remember the salvation that God has given us. This is a good thing to have. Now, how we work out that day of rest or rest time will vary, I'm sure, for each of us. Some of us are in healthcare or other fields where we're bound to work on a Sunday. For others, our work is caring for children, which goes on 7 days a week. Others of us are retired, and the challenge there can be that every day feels alike and that the jobs of life fill all of the days. Now, we can't make human rules for how we keep the Sabbath. That's what the Pharisees were into. But instead, we need to ask Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, to show us when and how he wants us to rest. It's a great question, I think, for each of us to ask ourselves. What is it that's governing our rest? Is it the demands of our work? Is it other people and their expectations of us? Is it our own interests and activities and leisure commitments that are governing how we spend our rest time? Or is it Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath? Let him shape when and how we rest. So this is the thrust of the first half of our passage. Legalism burdens, whereas Jesus gives rest. We can look more briefly now at the second half, and we see here another aspect of the rest that Jesus gives. He restores us. Again, it's a contrast with legalism. It's our second heading. Jesus restores, but legalism distorts. Let me read verses 9 to 14 again. Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Well, we see here how legalism tends to distort us. The Pharisees were so hypocritical, weren't they? They were really scrupulous about not having a snack on the Sabbath and about not healing on the Sabbath, but they were quite happy to accuse and even to plot murder on the Sabbath day. Not only had their legalism made them hypocritical, it had made them loveless as well. They cared more about their own sheep than about this human being in front of them. Now, it's easy to criticize the Pharisees, but this is how legalism tends to distort us. Because it focuses on outward rules, things that we do, and not heartfelt mercy, it tends to make us hypocritical, caring about the rules we happen to care about, not being too fussed about the others. And it tends to make us loveless. So long as we can get on and keep our rules, that's all that counts. You see, legalism distorts. But we see in contrast that Jesus restores. And actually, it's a wonderful picture here of the restoration that he brings to the believer. He said to the man, "Stretch out your hand," and listening to the words of Jesus, trusting in the words of Jesus, and obeying them, the man found that he was completely restored. That's what happens as we come to Jesus for rest, as we take his yoke upon him and as we learn from him. He restores us. So with a simple piece of paper like this, we can illustrate what sin and legalism does to us. It screws us up, turns us in on ourselves. It's the effect of legalism. Whereas the work of Jesus is to take us just as we are and to start to restore us, to start to smooth us out, to start to restore us as God made us to be. So Jesus takes our hearts that are turned in on themselves, and he starts to teach us how to love as God intended us to love. Jesus takes people who are burdened with anxiety and despair, and he starts to give us hope and a trust in God's care. Jesus takes hearts that are prone to frustration and to anger, and he starts to work in us patience and gentleness. The work of Jesus is to restore us. And his work is gradual. It continues all through our lives, and it is completed when he comes again. We won't turn to it now, but in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, it's a great section on the Sabbath. And one verse there, verse 9, says, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God." Speaking about the great Sabbath in the future. The great Sabbath when Christ comes again, and when the dead are raised, and when believers will stand before him perfectly restored in soul and in body. That will be our perfect Sabbath, our perfect rest, when Christ comes and his restoring work is complete. Now, did you notice in this episode that, in a way, Jesus restores this man at the cost of his own life? It was because Jesus chose to heal and restore and bring rest to this man that the Pharisees went out and started to plot how they might kill him. And in a way, that's a picture of the whole gospel. Jesus restores us at the cost of his own life. So in his great love, Jesus chose to face anguish on the cross as he bore our sins and the just judgment of God so that we can have rest. And in his love, Jesus chose to be crushed on the cross so that we can come to him and be restored. Legalism distorts, you see, but Jesus in his great love restores, even at the cost of his own life. Well, I started by saying how easy it is to look down on the Pharisees and to see them as those pantomime villains of the gospel. But I do believe that we all have a tendency in our hearts to legalism. I do. It's so easy for us to put things that we do, rules and regulations we're trying to keep, at the centre of our faith, rather than the saving grace of Jesus. So easy for us to think that our relationship with God depends on our performance, in our relationships, in our Bible reading, in sharing the gospel. And so our confidence goes up and down with our performance. But what a contrast there is between Jesus and legalism. Legalism burdens, but Jesus gives us rest. Legalism distorts, but Jesus restores. So let's do and let's keep doing what Jesus says in verse 28 of chapter 11. Come to me. Way to avoid legalism is to keep coming to him in faith and to resting in the knowledge that our standing with God depends on him and not our performance. And actually to take his yoke upon us, to let him direct and govern us and teach us. And it's as we do that that he starts to restore us, not just in the level of outward observance, but actually in the level of a heart of mercy and love. Let's pray. Lord, we confess how easily we start to make things that we do, religious rules or other things that we do, at the centre of our faith and life. Please help us instead to keep the Lord Jesus Christ at the centre. We thank you that when we come to him in faith, he gives us the rest of forgiveness and restored relationship with you. And we want to take his yoke upon us and let him govern and direct our lives. And we pray, Lord, that as we do that, you would continue your restoring work in our hearts, that we might be more and more the people you made us to be.